Beloved, we are God's children now. That's what St. John the Divine reminds us in the letter that we heard this morning. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. In the Gospels, there's a story about Jesus teaching his disciples that only those who become like little children can hope to truly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus had in mind, I believe, is something far more than the patronizing sentimentalization of children that is so common in our society these days. This is about far more than simply kids say the darndest things. It's about something unique and holy that is present in childhood and fosters a deeper and closer intimacy with God. Today is, of course, All Saints Sunday, when we commemorate the whole heavenly host of saints down through the ages. I have heard many definitions of saints over the years, but this week I am pondering what it means for saints to be God's children. Saints, using this definition, are like people who grew up and yet didn't ever really outgrow the divine imprint of joy and wonder that is the hallmark of childhood. They retain the ability to view the world with hope and possibility. They hold on to their imagination when so many around them succumb to the idea that adulthood and maturity require us to be serious and somber and solemn all the time. Saints show us what it means to be God's children, how to hold on to all that is good and joyful about life with God. They are like the living embodiment of the prayer that we say after every baptism, that we will say again this morning in response to Charlotte Grace's baptism, that the newly baptized will have an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love the Lord, and the gift of joy and wonder in all of God's works. Joy and its companions, laughter and humor, are underappreciated values in the spiritual life. To live with God, to follow the way of Jesus, and to come to know Him both as Savior and Lord and friend, is to know joy. Joy is necessary, I believe. It is an essential element of a healthy life with God. That's what the saints show us by their lives. Just think about it for a minute. Think about the holiest people you have ever known or encountered, whether alive or departed, people you may have personally known or people you are only acquainted with through history. I want you to spend a minute actually bringing those people to mind. These people are the ones who reveal, truly reveal God to you, whose whole lives model God's presence and being, God's presence and holiness to you. Now, I wonder if a few of you are thinking of someone like, say, Desmond Tutu, who actually visited Transfiguration a little over 10 years ago. I wasn't here for it, but I still marvel at that. I dare you to try to find a picture of Desmond Tutu in which he is not smiling. He co-wrote a whole book along with the Dalai Lama, a book that I highly recommend, a book that is actually on sale in the bookstore if you're looking for holiday gifts this year. Highly recommend it. A book called The Book of Joy. It's a very clever title, I know. The Book of Joy, because for Desmond Tutu, his saintliness, his holiness, his whole way of being is tied up with his palpable and infectious spirit of joy. Think about a different 20th century saint, modern day saint, Mother Teresa. Again, I dare you to find a picture of Mother Teresa in which she is not smiling. Think about that for a second, understanding and comprehending the nature of her lifetime's work in one of the poorest and most despair-inducing places on earth, the slums of Calcutta, and yet a smile was always ready on her face. Think about St. Francis out there in the wilderness, preaching to the animals, preaching to the birds. It is so easy when we think of St. Francis to think of him smiling, to think of him laughing, to think of him being joyful. Because being in touch with God brings you in touch with joy. Beloved, we are God's children now. And that means that we have to let go of the notion that mature and adult, and I don't totally put those in quotes, mature adult faith must always be somber and serious. Faithful Christianity, even in the midst of strange and unsettling times, does not always have to be deadly serious. As I've heard it put once before, when we are deadly serious all the time, then it won't be long before we are seriously dead. Now, I have a confession to make here. Clergy have not always helped with this a whole lot. We are, I admit, often part of the problem. We call the priest who leads the Eucharist, the leading priest of a Eucharist, we call that person the celebrant because they are the leader of the celebration is the idea where that terminology comes from. But I wonder if you have ever heard the Mass prayed in such a way that the word celebration is not exactly what comes to mind for you. Celebrating wasn't happening anywhere near where you were. I can think of more than one occasion when the priest got to the Sanctus and introduced it with something akin to this level of emotion. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, if this is what the choirs of angels and archangels sound like, I'm not sure I want to be there with them. Or have you ever been to a service in Eastertide? This is both one of the most hilarious examples and also one of the worst. Been there during Eastertide when the opening of the service, the celebrant starts, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Which is, you know, of course, exactly how it sounded like on that first Easter morning. Did you hear the news? Yeah, he's risen. Gosh, let us run to the tomb. Let's go. Yeah, come on with me. Or later in the day when the disciples come back from Emmaus, and they say, you'll never believe it. Yep, you'll never believe what we saw out there. Yeah, it was Jesus. It's not supposed to be this way. I mean, Jesus was funny and full of life. And if you didn't know that, I encourage you to read your Bibles again. If you didn't know that, then again, I apologize because you were taught that Jesus was far more serious than he actually was. His joy was infectious. People wanted to be around him, and not only because he was healing and feeding them all the time. The same is true for the saints. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin once wrote that joy is the most ineffable sign of the presence of God. Joy is the most ineffable sign of the presence of God. Many of the saints had terrific senses of humor and deep wellsprings of joy. St. Augustine of Hippo is famous for once having prayed, "Give me chastity, O Lord, but not yet." I don't know that you heard me. You're so used to not laughing in church, you're not laughing today. Teresa of Avila is famous for saying, "A sad nun is a bad nun." And she went on to say, "I'm more afraid of one unhappy sister than a crowd of evil spirits." And those of you who have familiarity with nuns, you know what she was talking about. According to a legend from the 3rd century, St. Lawrence, a great saint and a martyr of the early church who was martyred by the Romans by burning to death on a gridiron, and you're not going to believe me when I tell you this story, but it is reported that he called out to his executioners, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side." Which seems ludicrous. I triple-checked that story because I was sure it was a joke. And it's not. It seems crazy to us to try to be funny at such a moment, such a terrible, terrible moment. Estella is sitting there like wincing at the idea of this story. But you see what? The humor that St. Lawrence shows us demonstrates his refusal to be afraid of death. It demonstrates his refusal to allow the Romans to have control over him in these final moments. The joy that came from God in life stayed with him right up until that terrible end. Joy is a vital part of the Christian life. Humor and laughter are gifts straight from the hand of God that are intended to help us enjoy creation, because our God is a God of joy. In the Psalms, we read that God delights in the beauty and play of all of creation. And in Isaiah, we read that God takes delight in each and every one of us. Think about that for a minute. The same God who created platypuses and narwhals and peacocks takes delight in you. We are a source of joy to God. And joy is meant to be a central part of our lived experience, of our human existence. My friends, the world is filled with plenty of people who are playing at being adults. The world is filled with people who are playing at being adults. But you and I are called to be saints. And that means we're called to be God's children. The Christian life is plenty hard, and no one would contest that. But it is not supposed to be a life of drudgery. We are called to show to the world how to experience joy and wonder in all of God's works. So do not be afraid to laugh, my dear friends, even in these strange and unsettling days. Do not be afraid to ask God for the gift of joy. And definitely do not be afraid to rediscover the child that is inside of you. For you see, that child, filled with joy and hope and faith, that child is a saint of God. And all of God's people said, Amen.